Amen. Let's give it up for this band here. Well, if I was teaching on the end times, I think there was a partial rapture. That means we've been left behind, so that's not a good thing, I guess. But we are the few, the proud, the Marines. Here we are. I love it. I got a good word. I hope that you are ready to hear it and receive it. Let me just kind of review a couple things that we talked about last night. The truest thing about us is what God says is true. And our identity is going to determine our destiny. The way we see ourselves is going to shape the direction that we take in life. And if the way we see ourselves is not true, if it's built on a lie, then we're going to live in bondage. But if the way we see ourselves is consistent with what God says is true, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free." We're going to walk in freedom, and that's what God wants for each one of his men. He wants us to walk in freedom, and that freedom is based upon truth. So understanding identity is so key. So we talked last night about the fact that our identity is really, from a scriptural perspective, in one of two histories. One is the history of our original ancestor, Adam, the first man, who sinned and rebelled against God. And we come into this world with that sin nature and that identity in Adam. But when we receive Jesus Christ and we open up our hearts to God and we ask Jesus to come into our lives, we're placed into a new identity. It's that identity in Christ. Now use those two circles, those two hula hoops. If you're in this circle of being in Christ, then everything that's true about Jesus is now true about you. And what we talked about last night is that we are perfectly loved by God in Christ. That is our identity. And today we want to talk about the fact that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That also is our identity. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. In him also we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ, we would be to the praise of his glory. And in him also you, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." Wow, that's, someone needs to say amen.
Amen.
That's a mouthful. In fact, in the original language, in the Greek language, it's one run-on sentence. Just one run-on sentence. Really bad grammar, but unbelievable theology. Unbelievable truth. And it's set up by the opening statement. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, there's a lot in this passage that's really deep. And for some of us, maybe just went over our heads. I want to try to unpack it. You know, the theologians make simple things really complicated, but communicators make complicated things simple. I want to be more of a communicator today to try to take some of this stuff and make it simple so you can understand it and it can change your life, because you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So last night we talked about the fact the truth is I'm perfectly loved in Christ. Here the truth is I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now that word blessing, just to start with, it's a great word. When you go to a memorial service or a funeral service, I mean, a pastor, I've been a part of many, many, many of these. There's a time in the service where maybe it's a family member or a friend or a coworker, or maybe multiple people will stand up and talk about the person and will speak words kind of of what a great person they were. What do we call that part of a memorial service? Eulogy. Yeah, eulogy. It's from a Greek word, eulogeo, which means to bless. Eulogeo means to speak blessing on someone or to bestow favor or to speak well of. And what this passage tells us is that God, the ultimate source of all truth, has spoken over our lives, well done, spoken good things, spoken favor over our lives. And the truest thing about us is what God says is true. So every one of these statements in this passage is a blessing. God speaking over us what is actually true about us. Because in our heads, in our minds, we think all kinds of things about ourselves. And some of them may be true and some of them may not be true. But what God says is true. And so in this passage, he's speaking over us what's true. And what he says is, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So it's a past tense verb. It's something that's already happened. When we move from this circle of identity into the circle of being in Christ, all of these things became true about us. In fact, in this one passage, it says in Christ or in him or in the beloved, I think 10 times. It's the flow of what this is all about. I actually wrote a 200-page doctrinal thesis on what it means to be in Christ, because it's used about 160 times in the New Testament. It's really the statement, especially by the Apostle Paul, of identity, of what is actually true about us in Christ. What's wrapped up in moving from this identity into this identity? And in this passage, it says what's wrapped up in it is we've received every spiritual blessing. So we already have every blessing God has to give. Now, the Christian life is about discovering what those blessings are and experiencing what is ours. And so it is a biblical statement to say the Christian life is becoming who we already are. That was, in fact, the title of my doctoral thesis, Becoming Who You Already Are in Christ. That's what sanctification is. That's what spiritual growth is. That's what discipleship is about. It's becoming who you already are. Remember that movie that some of us here have probably seen a bazillion times, The Wizard of Oz, because they show it every year? When I was a kid, they showed The Wizard of Oz every year. And I told you a little bit, I grew up a little bit in the country outside of Ventura, on the way to Ojai. We only got one TV station because of where we were. This is before cable was installed in our neighborhood. And it was from Santa Barbara, Channel 3 from Santa Barbara, California. And so we watched whatever was on that one station. We had this little black and white TV. And I saw The Wizard of Oz every year. In fact, it's funny. I remember when we finally got a color TV. If you remember The Wizard of Oz, it starts out in black and white, but then when Dorothy gets to the Land of Oz, what happens? Everything turns into color. But when I watched it when I was a kid, I watched it in black and white, so I never saw that. So I thought everything was black and white. So I'm starting to watch The Wizard of Oz in color for the first time. And all of a sudden, she lands in the Land of Oz, and there's color. And I remember, like, being shocked in my little living room watching it again. Well, you know, spoiler alert, if you've never seen The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy's on this journey through Oz trying to get her way back home to Kansas. She goes through all these different traumas in her experience. She meets all these different characters with her to help her along the way. She finally gets to the inn, and the good witch, you know, talks to her about how she can get back to Oz, and what does she have to do to get back to Kansas, get back home? What does she have to do? She has to click her slippers. But what does she remember? She's had them on her feet the whole time. She had the key to get back to where she wanted to go all the time. It was already hers. You have already, in your identity in Christ, everything you need for the Christian life. Because you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, you may not know. You may be like Dorothy, being ignorant of how to get to where you want to go. But that's why the Word of God is so awesome. It's truth, and it speaks to us, and it shows us what's true about us, and it shows us how to get to where we want to go and where God wants us to go, becoming more and more like Jesus and walking in the fullness of his life, in the abundance of his life, and it's rooted in our identity. Okay, so we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, and then Ephesians 1 talks about 8 or 10 of those blessings, but every one of them is already ours. That's the first thing to receive from this. I already have everything I need, and I have it in Christ. I don't have to go outside of Jesus to find what I deeply need. I don't have to go outside of Jesus to find what I'm really looking for. I just need to discover more of who I am in Jesus. You know, one of the things about adulthood that is great is some of the things that you hated as a kid, you learn to enjoy as an adult. Like I was talking to my son-in-law about, I used to hate to do home projects. My dad would say, you know, do this, do that. And I hated it when I was a kid. I actually enjoy it now. But when you do home projects, you need the right tools, right? Because if all you have is a hammer, you'll just hammer everything. But the more tools you have, the more you can actually do the projects you want to be able to do. And so, you know, guys need tools. When my son turned 18, when my middle daughter married her husband, Tim, and when my youngest daughter married Kyle, I gave them all a set of tools. Because guys need tools. Because the more tools you have in your toolbox, the more equipped you are for whatever it is that you're going to take on as a project. We have all the tools for every spiritual battle, every trial we'll ever face, every aspiration we want to pursue in our following of Jesus Christ, because we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. In fact, repeat after me, I've been blessed. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's the truest thing about us because God says it's true. Now, in this passage, it also says that we've been blessed past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. You know, time, this is deep, but time is a creation of God. There was a time when there was no time. Before God spoke and created the universe, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived in absolute fullness and completeness. God didn't need to create out of something that wasn't sufficient within himself. He's completely sufficient within himself. He created as a choice to bestow his love and glory on his creatures. But there was a time when there was no time, and then God decided to create, and he just spoke, and the universe came into existence, and then time and space began. And what it says here in Ephesians 1, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You want to think about something that'll blow your mind. Before there was a world, God had you in mind. And God chose you. You want a sense of significance? Man, think about when you're a kid and you're playing sports and they're picking teams and they got the captain over here and the captain over there. You want to be like the first guy picked. God picked us for himself. God chose to bless us with his love. It says he chose us and predestined us in love. So God's initiation of the relationship that we have with him began in the past, in fact, in eternity past. It got worked out in the present because in the present, we've been called into a relationship at Jesus Christ. At some point, if we know Christ, if we're in this circle, at some point in our life, the gospel was explained to us. We heard it. We believed it. Maybe it came from a parent, and maybe it came from a coach. Maybe it came from a friend. Maybe it came from a youth pastor. Maybe on our own, we read the Bible. But somehow, some point in our journey in life, we heard the message and we crossed the line and we gave our lives to Christ. So we're blessed in the present. It says that we have grace lavished upon us and we're redeemed and God is making known his will to us. These are all present tense blessings that we're experiencing right now. So God blessed us in the past. He blesses us in the present. And then it says, in this passage in verses 13 and 14, that in him, in Christ, after hearing the message of our salvation, we also believed it. So our belief was put into that message. And because we heard it and we believed it, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So now the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He's our seal. But then it says,
He's a guarantee of our future redemption, the full realization of what God has for us in heaven. So, here's the truth that sets you free. If you're in this circle of being in Christ, you've received Jesus into your life, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Those blessings started in the past. Those blessings are real for you right now, and those blessings will continue for you all the way into the future. You can never get unblessed. That's pretty good. And that's the truest thing about us, because God says it's true. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Also in this passage, it says that we're blessed by the Father, by the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. Blessed by the Father, by the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. All of who God is, the Trinity, one God who eternally exists as three co-equal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This one God has blessed us. So the Father chose us and predestined us. The Son died for us, shed his blood for us, so he's redeemed us. And the Spirit has sealed us. That's pretty good. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of who God is in his essence and nature has blessed us. Now, this concept of the Trinity, it's a tough thing. Anybody who says they've got it wired just is not speaking truth. They're smoking peyote somewhere. It's just hard. But it's true because God says it's true. There's nothing wrong with mystery as long as we know it's a biblical mystery. So, when my kids were much younger, we were able to go on a vacation. We went to Hawaii, and I was trying to teach my kids how to surf on those huge surfboards at Waikiki Beach, you know. And I'd stand out there, and they'd stand up, and I'd push them on the board. I'm surfing, you know. So we were doing that all day, and we came in, and my daughter was about 11 years old. This is my daughter who's married to Kyle here. She's about 11 years old, and we're out on the sand, and we're sitting on our beach towels, and I don't know why, but she started asking me some spiritual questions, and she said, "Dad, I don't understand. I don't understand how God can be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't understand that." And I said, "Well," and we're at the beach and we're in the sand, and I put my finger in the sand. I drew a triangle in the sand. Triangle. In the middle of the triangle, I wrote God. And I said, "So this triangle, this represents God." She said, "Okay." And I said, "How many sides does a triangle have?" And she says, "Three." And I took my hand and I rubbed out one of the sides. I said, "Is that a triangle now?" And she goes, "No, it only has two sides." And I put it back and I rubbed that one out. And I said, "Is that a triangle now?" And she goes, "No, it only has two sides." And then I put that one back, and then I rubbed down here, and I took that, and I said, "Is it a triangle now?" "No, it only has two sides." She goes, "A triangle has to have three sides to actually be a triangle." So that's right. And then I wrote Father, Son, and Spirit. It was all in the sand. And I said, "So God, like a triangle, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If I take out one of the sides or one of the persons, it's not really God, not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is like that triangle. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And it was lunch. We were having lunch, and I reached over and I grabbed an apple, had an apple, and I took a bite of the apple. I go, "What do you see in the apple?" "There's the skin on the outside, there's the meat, fleshy part of the apple, and then there's the core." "Well, which one of those is the apple?" She goes, "All three." I go, "That's the way God is. He's all three. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, but three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has blessed us in Christ. You can't get any more blessed than you are already, because you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You've been blessed in the past, present, and the future. You've been blessed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the truest thing about us. We're blessed. Here's another observation, just looking at the passage and kind of seeing what is this really saying? We've been blessed to give God glory. We've been blessed to give God glory, because there are three statements that that are repeated to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. Repeated three times in this passage, to the praise of his glory. And there's summary statements describing first like what God has done in blessing us and what those blessings are, and then the result or the purpose of those blessings is to the praise of his glory. Now, this is hard for some people to get, but it's really important that you get it. God has blessed us, but the purpose of God blessing us is for the praise of his glory. So when God does something, is he doing it first and foremost for us, or is he doing it first and foremost to reflect back on his glory? What's the answer? His glory. In other words, the world does not revolve around you. The world does not revolve around me. We are not the ultimate objects of everything that God does in the universe. You know, a lot of times I think a lot of these young parents need to be told that because they're raising little narcissistic children who are going to grow up to be narcissistic adults to think that the world revolves around them. But the world revolves around God. Everything God does is for his glory. And even blessing us with every spiritual blessing is for his glory. One author puts it this way. Real Christianity is God-centered. Real Christianity recognizes that Jesus himself said that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those who have glimpsed into the greatness and the grandeur and the majesty and the excellence of God through the eyes of trust in Jesus, they never get over that vision. An obsession with the glory of God is the hallmark of true Christianity. Even being out here, men, in the beauty of the sequoias and seeing the stars and the trees and the ocean or the lake, and it's like, wow, God is so big, God is so majestic, God is so awesome, and that's what pleases God. That's what delights God when we have that as a focus. And our blessings, even the fact that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, is to reflect back on the actual glory of God. And with understanding God's glory, there's a holy responsibility. That's why Scripture says, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Which, you know, this is maybe an insight, give you an insight into how my mind works, which that's kind of scary sometimes. But there's a line, a quote from the original Spider-Man movie. Yes. Peter Parker says, whatever life holds in store for me, I will never forget these words. With great power comes great responsibility. This is my gift. It's my curse. Who am I? I'm Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. With great privilege comes great responsibility. With great blessing comes great responsibility. Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm someone blessed with every spiritual blessing. And I want to do everything for the glory of God. Here's one last observation. We're blessed with specific blessings. So, what's the truest thing about you? You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And this passage says what some of those specific blessings are. God chose you to be holy and blameless. God predestined you to be adopted as one of his sons. God graced you with his grace. God redeemed you and forgave you for all of your sins. God lavished all of his grace on you. God made known to you the mystery of his will. God predestined you to receive an inheritance in Christ. God sealed you with the Holy Spirit. These are all specific spiritual blessings. Each one of those is worthy of like a little reflection. In fact, one of the greatest things you do, you could take this passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14, and just spend some time thinking about it. Maybe even while you're up here, go on a walk and just have your Bible and look at that and just say, what does that really mean? I'm chosen. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. God's lavished me with his blood. He's made known to me the mystery of his will. He's predestined me. He's given me an inheritance. He sealed me with the Holy Spirit. These are truth statements because God says they're true about you. They are true about you. They are yours already. You don't have to work for them. You don't have to beg God for them. You don't have to jump through any religious hoops for them. They are already true about you because God says they're true. They are the specific blessings that are yours. They're like the tools in your spiritual toolbox. You already got them. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And the more we come to realize who we are, then the clearer our destiny becomes for us, because identity determines destiny. And it's a spiritual renewal to agree with God about who we are, because lies are coming at us all the time. Lies that come back that were told to us in our past, lies that the enemy is telling to us, lies that the world is throwing at us, lies that we tell ourselves. And so we need to have positive self-talk, because we all talk to ourselves. The psalmist said, soul, why are you so downcast within me? Trust in God. You're going to yet again praise him. The psalmist is modeling for us biblical self-talk. We need to have some biblical self-talk. We need to say to ourselves, I'm perfectly loved by God in Christ. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. I'm chosen, I'm predestined, I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, I'm lavished with grace. I know God's will. I've obtained an inheritance. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. See, that's the truest thing about us, because the truest thing about us is what God says is true. And we need to speak those truths back to ourselves. In that great Christian movie, the theologian Russell Crowe says this in Gladiator, my name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix legions, loyal servant to the true emperor Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or in the next. He's speaking truth. We need to speak truth to ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ. We've learned two truths so far. We need to say to ourselves, I'm perfectly loved by God in Christ. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Because that's the truest thing about us. And when we embrace those truths, that'll set us free. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray for myself, I pray for my brothers, I pray for the men here that we'd receive this truth of our identity. We'd receive this truth of our blessings in Christ. We'd accept it as true because you say it's true. Lord, I pray that the truth would set us free. I pray for every man here to walk in the freedom of their new relationship with Jesus Christ. And I ask that in Jesus' name, amen.